Welcome to Smart Marks Podcast.
Welcome to the Smart Marks Podcast. A weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
We coming for you, nigga!
And that's the bottom line!
I can be serious for a minute.
WWE.
When Roman Reigns is in the house, you're damn right Cena sucks.
TNA.
It's about time this company got their heads out of their asses.
And independent wrestling.
Hey, Colt Cabana, how you doing?
So without any further ado, let me introduce to you
the Smart Marks, Jeremy Holman and Matt Salgado.
3, 2, 1, boner time.
It's always boner time.
Always boner time.
All right, everybody, welcome to another week of the Smart Marks Podcast. This is episode 7,222.
Yeah, it's somewhere around there. We're really close to that.
Yeah, we are. I'm Matt.
He's I'm Jeremy. And this is the Smart Marks Podcast.
See what happens when we take a week off? We just fuck everything
up. Kind of a week off. This is our first time back in the studio, actually, like, well, since, you know, the interview, which we have later on. Which
yeah.
We're going to make you bastards listen to us first.
And then you get the good stuff.
Or you can just fast forward.
You
got to
eat your veggies before you get your dessert, fellas.
Yeah, you can just fast forward.
Ladies
to, like,
and gents.
The 25-minute mark, and you can be right into the interview. I mean,
no,
I don't
I'm
going
to run it 26 minutes now, just to piss them off.
Oh, yeah, let's do that.
It's true heel form.
It's really our first time back. I know we did a WrestleMania follow-up, and mainly just followed up WrestleMania. We didn't really follow up, and we haven't even got the chance to talk about Raw after Mania and then this past Raw.
Right.
Of course, WWE is on their tour going into Europe right now, so that's a big thing. Kind of screws up everybody's schedule, really.
Yep.
As far as what's gets recorded, what doesn't.
Threw ours off,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, really.
Or WrestleMania threw ours off. Maybe we were on just wrestling overload.
I think we were just like on a wrestling. I mean, I came up with the hangover name last year after WrestleMania. I kind of feel like that's really true to form.
No, it really is.
Just because you watch all of this, you know, you're so psyched for Mania. You're hyped, even though the buildup, and we talked about the buildup, everybody talked about the buildup, how the buildup wasn't all that great. And because of that, we had an amazing WrestleMania, which I still go back and look and watch some of these matches. I've watched the Bray Wyatt Undertaker match 4 times.
Yeah, so have I.
I think it's an amazing match.
I've watched
match.
The main event 4 times.
And I appreciate those matches even more for how good they are. Like the Roman Brock Lesnar match was really good. You know, it was really good even before Seth Rollins.
Absolutely.
Showed up, you know, and had that just
Suplex
been,
City, bitch.
Suplex City, bitch. I forgot what the meme was or it was kayfabe came up with something that Lesnar did not say that. He said something else. You could probably look it up on your phone right now and find out what he said. The PG version. But yeah, so WrestleMania was awesome. Still Daniel Bryan, still our Intercontinental Champion. Not much has happened, though, since WrestleMania. We did get a Sting promo the Raw after. And might I say, highly disappointed in Sting.
And it wasn't even a Sting promo on Raw, was it? Wasn't
it?
It
was
the network?
On the network. You had to watch the network. And yeah, so did you watch the Sting promo at all?
I caught a portion of it.
And like, really, all he said was, "I don't know if my time is up. If they give me something to do, I'm gonna do it." But not really giving us all that, you know.
Yeah.
But there isn't any light at the end of the tunnel, really, for how we perceive Sting in WWE. I don't see him being done. Of course, the crowd was going off on him chanting Undertaker, Undertaker over and over. So maybe,
right. Maybe
you
we
know,
get that.
Maybe Who we knows? Get that. I'm not pushing for that, but maybe that's a route that they take. We had no Undertaker. We had no Bray Wyatt, actually, to sell the fact that, you know, there was even no mention, really, I think, you know, of Bray Wyatt.
We didn't get Bray Wyatt till this week.
Yeah, we got Bray Wyatt with another promo. And yeah. Who is he talking to? Is he still talking to Taker? Because he's still the man, you know, the new face of fear.
Yeah.
But the new face of fear, you know, I didn't want to happen that way. I would have rather Bray Wyatt gone over.
This is the way I figured it would have, yeah. But I would have rather it happen.
If he's the new face of fear, it should have been like that. And
yeah, exactly.
This, to me, lends way to a two-parter. You know, that
I would hope so.
I hope this is just a year-long build to part two
or
of Undertaker versus Bray.
If nothing else.
If anything, another big show that they have coming up and Bray go over. I think, though, it really does need a WrestleMania build. And plus, it gives us something to look forward to. Plus, Bray Wyatt will finally win a WrestleMania match. I think that'd be nice.
Right.
If Undertaker actually lets him, you know. Or if, I don't even think it's Undertaker's decision. I guess it's, you know, upper management.
Right.
Whatever. We can go on and on about that. A little bit of news. You know, not all that important. AJ Lee freaking retires.
Yeah, let's get into that.
What the WTF?
Kind of out of the blue. It was originally speculated that she might have been pregnant.
Yeah.
But everything that's coming out now is, from what we're reading, is saying that AJ retired due to the lawsuit against her husband from Dr. Chris Amon.
Well, you had to figure that was going to come into play sooner or later.
So
I mean, you can't have your husband being sued by the company you work for.
Now, the wording on that.
And nothing happened at home.
The wording on that retirement tweet had stated that she was done with in-ring competition with WWE.
Within WWE, yeah.
So does that mean that we may see her elsewhere?
I would love to see her, you know, elsewhere, not necessarily TNA. No, that's a long shot.
Maybe TNA would be cool, but I think she'd fit in really well with Lucha Underground, maybe.
Lucha Underground.
Maybe even
I think,
on the indie scene, Shimmer, Shine. What if she went
see,
to
that's
Shimmer?
What I think. I think more so we're probably going to see her like in Shimmer, Shine, PWG.
That
kind
would
of,
be awesome.
That kind of facility where women's wrestling gets a little bit more, like, higher showcased than
right.
what we get right now. I mean, AJ did lead the way of Give Divas a Chance. She definitely was a starter of this movement that
exactly.
we got. And it kind of saddens me that she's not going to be the forefront runner of this movement. It's gonna be the Bellas that are going to get all the credit for it, which I don't, you know. Do we really want the Bellas to get all the credit for it?
I don't want them to
but
get credit
in
for it.
But in the end, when it goes down in the history books, it's going to be the Bellas led the way and Give Divas a Chance. That's the way it's going to happen. WWE's done a great job of erasing history, you know, whether it was murderous history or if it was you had a champion for 434 days and you kind of just erased them out of history and you really don't mention them all that much. You kind of cut ties with, you know, your two longest champions that you've had on the show. Of course, with Punk, you know, those things happen. And then, you know, AJ Lee gets a sour taste in her mouth in a way and decides to go ahead and hang up the boots, literally hang up the Converse Chuck Taylor boots.
Yeah, she
tweeted
a picture of them.
And she was our, you know, longest reigning Divas champ, you know. And she's held that belt the most out of anybody, so... You know, we had to take it for what it's worth, but, man, I miss her already. Like, I didn't think it'd be hurt that much just because we do have a lot of divas right now, but I am going to miss AJ.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
That's a good thing, though. I mean, I shouldn't miss her. If she was to lead WWE, you shouldn't miss her unless she, like, you know, murdered somebody. Then I'd be like, okay, you got to go, AJ.
Yeah, she definitely – she left her mark. Just keep your eyes out and see what happens in the future, you know. Hopefully she ends up somewhere where we get to see her again.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, a lot of people were saying like MMA or whatever, but I don't think. I think we're going to see like in a PWG, maybe even a Ring of Honor kind of type of situation where she pops in. Somewhere where they're still good with Punk, you know, and she's going to work with Punk's friends.
Yeah.
You know, Punk doesn't want to work in the wrestling world anymore. That's fine, you know, but Phil still has a lot of friends, you know, Colt Cabana, Domino, Cliff Compton. The Young Bucks.
Maybe we get her on an episode of Art of Wrestling.
Luke Gallows. You know, New Japan. There's a place she can go to and kick some ass. New
right.
Japan. But, you know, I'm sure her and Punk are going to love the time they get to spend together now because, you know, they really didn't spend all that much time together, you know, while both of them were working. UFC.
Exactly.
WWE. Yeah. So, goodbye, AJ. We will miss you from the Smart Marks podcast. And Godspeed in all your future endeavors. It's pretty awesome.
We had an amazing episode of TNA this week.
We had a great episode of TNA. Granted, we still have Bobby Lashley and Kurt Angle, but
yep.
The Bell to Bell episode of TNA was fucking fantastic.
Yeah, it was a phenomenal episode.
I loved every second of it. I loved that we just got thrown right into the matches. It was called Bell to Bell. No promos, just straight up, let's, you know, have some fights. EY and Bobby Roode or Robert Roode started the night off with the submission match. And
yeah.
Goddamn, that was a great match. Probably, the best match of the night for me was their match. And Bobby Roode and EY go back and forth, you know, and they do have great chemistry between each other. So it was
absolutely
really awesome to see them carry that on through and have a great match to kind of end their feud. Even though EY kind of gets the, you know, we don't see too many heels get the better
exactly.
of baby faces anymore. And I love that.
They both worked their injury angle.
Oh,
in
they
the
definitely
too.
Did. And I love the fact that the good guys don't always win, you know, and they carry that through this story. Yeah, maybe Bobby Roode will get revenge a couple months later from now. Fantastic. But for now, EY gets the big win. And it helps his villainous character, you know. Now I don't have such a hard time believing that he's just a bastard.
Exactly.
You know, this is
it worked out, man.
Yeah, and they're back in the Impact Zone. I think this is the second week in a row in the Impact Zone. So it feels, before it was kind of getting stale while they were away from Orlando or wherever they tape. It's Orlando, right?
Yeah.
So to me, it was almost like a hero's welcome when they came back. They had a great crowd. It wasn't stale. They got a good show, and I think that's beneficial. If this crowd, the crowds that go to Orlando and watch Impact are consistent enough in the way they react, that improves the show immensely. And a great job for Destination America, because this was a big show for them. And leading into the live show we're going to get in a couple weeks. Or is it this week?
I think it's, is it this week?
Damn, I don't have to check. You know, we had an insider on the show. Yeah, and he even told us about
it. We're terrible.
I'm going to look it
up. We did even bring it up, too. Yeah. Of course, we got a really good match between Bram and Magnus, with Magnus coming out on top.
I love that feud. Yeah. God damn, that feud is great.
That spot in the corner in the turnbuckle with the chair was awesome, and that was fitting for that match.
Dude, well, a couple weeks before that,
feud goes on longer.
We had Magnus powerbomb Bram on the walkway, and I thought that was such an insane spot for them to do. I mean, god damn. Awesome stuff. Awesome stuff.
Yeah, I enjoyed every bit of it. And then, of course, we got Kurt Angle retaining against Bobby Lashley.
We did have another match in there. Didn't we not have? Oh, we had Gail Kim
and Angelina Love.
Even better. And, you know, Angelina Love is like, she's been around for a while and her ring work was never all that great. But I feel like when you pair anybody up with Gail Kim, they have like a 5-star match. Look at the great matches Gail Kim and Taryn Terrell had. So Angelina Love just did just as great. She looks amazing, and it was really fun watching that match. You know, not just for my pants, but for my eyes visually, because I enjoy good professional wrestling, especially from women.
Cover yourself there, sir. Cover yourself.
I am. Also, we had the unfortunately, the Wolves had to forfeit their tag team titles because Eddie Edwards literally broke his heel in half.
Yep.
My God, did you see that x-ray?
No, I didn't. Oh. Is it terrible? I did not see it.
Well, the good thing for Eddie Edwards is that his tag team partner, Davey Richards, is a trained paramedic.
Yeah,
That's his full-time job. So definitely worked out. But that just sucks. Eddie Edwards apparently broke his heel during a one-night-only taping for Impact Wrestling, so that sucks. And Davey Richards had just returned from, I believe he fractured he had broke his leg in a way where he was still able to kind of perform. It was a fast heel for him. And then he come right back around, and Eddie Edwards gets injured. And to me, that was just a bummer. I'm going to miss the Wolves tagging together, but I'm going to take it for Davey Richards getting a nice little singles push towards the X Division Championship. I think that's going
to
be awesome.
I hope it works out. I'd love to see it. Yeah. So what is TNA doing with them forfeiting? Are they going into like a tag tournament?
I believe we'll have a tag tournament. I hope we do get one. May 8th will be the broadcast, the live broadcast for Destination. TNA on Destination America. You guys can watch it on that. If you don't live in America and you live, like, say, in Canada, guess what? You get to watch it on YouTube completely for free. I don't know how you guys across the pond watch it, but you guys are awesome anyway. So keep supporting TNA.
Absolutely. And we didn't even mention the week before where we got an amazing return from Jeff Hardy in a cage match against James Storm.
Yeah.
Where he took the win. I mean, definitely, we've said it. TNA's on fire right now. I missed Lucha Underground this week. Did you get to watch it?
I did not get to watch the last episode, which was last evening, but I heard nothing but good things about it.
I've got to try to sit down and watch it. I'm actually in the process of packing up and moving.
Yeah.
I'm leaving the podcast, people. That's exactly what's happening.
Moving out of my pants.
No, I'm just moving houses. I'm busy as hell and trying to watch as much wrestling as I could possibly get in,
you know,
at the same time.
Well, last week on TNA, Samoa Joe, that was actually his official exit. Yep. I know we didn't bring that up, but
yeah, we didn't.
No more Samoa Joe, because we were gonna try to do another show, but we're seriously hungover, burnt out. We decided it was a good job for us just to break and have a nice little recharge in our batteries, which I feel I've done a pretty good job.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're starting this new, I guess we can kind of consider this a new season. A new season, like we can kind of consider our WrestleMania show the season finale. And I think we're getting this new season off to a great start.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, we failed to mention, you know, I know we're jumping back and forth because there is quite a bit to cover. But how about that Michael Cole F5?
Oh, shit. He F5'd him out
of his shoe.
Still
not back. Rest in peace, Michael Cole. I like how the trolls on the internet like jump on Wikipedia immediately and just like edit people to die and reason cause of death. F5 straight
to hell.
Yeah. Yeah, goddamn. The Brock Lesnar thing felt like really real. you know, watching him tear shit up and going back and forth. Still real to me, damn it. Because that was awesome. That was cool. It was really old school. Something that we hadn't seen in a long time. He just lost his crap. The commentator's table got flipped over on Booker T and John Bradshaw Layfield to the point where I was just like, that wasn't supposed to happen.
Booker T just and got pinned between the wall and the table.
I had no idea who Lesnar had by the throat up until he got thrown into the ring. And I was like, that's Michael Cole. Yep. He's going to die.
Yep.
And God damn, that F5 was great. I mean, props to Cole, man.
Knocked
his shoes off his feet with the force of that F5, and then he went on the F5 a cameraman a few times. So we don't get any more Brock Lesnar, probably up until SummerSlam. That's the way it kind of feels.
Because he's suspended now, dude.
Quote unquote suspended. He'll get his rematch for the title sometime around then, I'm sure. So we've lived this long in memory of Michael Cole. He just showed me the picture. We've gone about 2 weeks with Seth Rollins as our new WWE champion. It feels pretty good.
Life is good.
Life is good.
That belt is as big as he is.
Yeah, I don't know if you noticed this past week on Raw. He started the night off still with the same belt. The plate still said WWE on. This is like little things for me, but I loved it that at the end of the show, he had his new plates installed.
I didn't even see that.
Yeah, he had the new Seth Rollins logos. This SR. Yeah.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, if you get a chance, if you still have it saved, watch the beginning of Raw, see Seth Rollins' belt. Then fast forward all the way to the end of Raw and look at Seth Rollins' belt. It got changed out, so props to that. Like, I like that. I was kind of worried that – I know there was, like, a miscue of them not being able to put the belt plates on. I know it's little things. Whatever.
That's crazy.
I'm fucking marking out for it.
Yeah, right.
You know, but it's pretty cool. Looks like it was a Hardcore Justice pay-per-view one night only that Eddie Edwards got injured at. So, God damn, that sucks. So a lot has gone on, man. It felt pretty good, though.
Yeah, it was a really good week for wrestling.
Yeah, and then if you watch this week's NXT, it was just
All the events from WrestleMania.
From WrestleMania, so you could definitely get to watch Hideo Itami hit that GTS on Tyler Breeze.
Exactly, and the only bad thing about that is I wanted to see that last week.
Yeah, I kind of feel that was really weird the way that they did it. Yeah. We just wait 2 weeks and let's put it out.
Well, what should have happened really is that event that we got for WrestleMania week. That should have been now, and we should have been able to watch WrestleMania week live. Those matches should have been televised for us. I mean, who wouldn't have wanted to see the tournament to see Hideo Itami make it into the Battle Royal?
Oh, that would have been fantastic to watch.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
We did forget to mention we're getting a Divas Battle Royal next week on Raw to determine a number one contender, which seems really weird because we've already had Naomi pin Nikki twice.
Yeah.
So it would seem like she should be the number one contender.
I agree.
And I might be reaching here, but it would, you know, if one's going to assume, does that mean that, you know, the Battle Royal might be a good spot for Charlotte to come in?
I would love for Charlotte to come in if, you know, if she has a chance to come up on the roster. I hope she grabs, you know, I don't want to use the phrase, but the brass ring.
Well, it would kind of make sense for her to enter through the Battle Royal.
It makes perfect sense.
Like that.
I mean, an AJ, and this is the way I see AJ leaving, going back to AJ leaving, her leaving really frees up two roster spots for me because AJ was such a huge presence on the show. She was seriously still our top diva, even though she wasn't champ. She was the A-lister diva, you know, whatever Nikki wants to say. And Nikki's still B-list for me, but with D-cups. A bad joke. But AJ being gone, I really feel like it opens up the spot double D-list. Opens up the spot for a couple of NXT girls to come up and show us what they have. Exhibit A, Charlotte. You know, I don't know who the other one would be. Maybe even Becky Lynch, because I feel like she's kind of just lingering there, but she's really good and the crowd loves her.
Yep.
But maybe a move to Raw up onto the main roster would benefit her more. Now, if you can go and listen to the Sam Roberts podcast, or even his YouTube page, you can see the interview that he has with Charlotte. And she's actually pretty conflicted as far as what she wants to do. They asked her, would she be okay with the move, or would she rather stay in NXT? And she said that she loves NXT, and she would hate to leave it while it's blowing up.
Right.
But at the same time, it's hard to pass up that roster spot. So she's really conflicted on what she wants to do. I could see Charlotte coming in and not necessarily winning that tournament right away, but just making an impact. You know, not to be use a pun from another show, but to make an impact on Raw. Or during the Battle Royal and just be like, holy crap, here's Charlotte from NXT. Or, you know, most people watch NXT now that watch Raw, which I think is a good thing because now we got Neville, man. We haven't even got the chance to talk about Adrian Neville being on the main roster.
The man whose first name WWE forgot.
Exactly. And so why they're doing that, I don't know, but I'm more than excited to see Adrian Neville on the main roster.
Yeah, so am I. He had a hell of a match with Seth Rollins.
Great match with Seth Rollins. He had a great match with Curtis Axel in his debut match. Great back and forth with Seth. And I thought that was awesome to kind of throw him in there and see, you know, let's put him against the champ. Let's see what he can do. And who better to put him against than Seth Rollins, man?
Canyon.
Who better than Canyon? But, yeah, so great. I love that. The Lucha Dragons, man. We got Lucha Dragons debut. We even got to talk about
that. Strong
They're getting a great 2 weeks in a row, and I was kind of worried that the Lucha Dragon chance would only last 1 week because it was a very smarky crowd the night after Raw. So I was kind of worried it wouldn't carry over, but it carried over.
Big time.
Fantastic. Sin Cara's getting cheered for the first time in his career.
Lucha.
I think it's great. And we finally kind of get our New Day heel turn.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, even
the fans are just rebelling.
Didn't really work out to the best of them because Kofi interfered in the match, but they still lost the match.
New Day sucks.
We knew that.
Quite possibly the best chant.
Yeah.
Going right now.
I love it. I thought I dug it. I like the direction that New Day's going. The new direction for New Day, but yeah, I love it.
New direction for New Day.
It's not a one direction.
You gonna make a joke about a Zayn not leaving?
Zayn's not. We had a Zayn returning on NXT last week. So.
See, that's what happens. Is one Suck Zayn my leaves, dick. We get another Zayn back.
But yeah, so it was great. A couple good. I mean, this past week's Raw could have been a little bit better. I feel like Adrian Neville kind of. Actually, I guess I'm in the minority there. I feel like we had a pretty decent Raw. I enjoyed it.
It was a pretty decent Raw. It was a little weird and all over the place. There were some rewrites we could tell.
Oh, well, I think. At one point, I tweeted out, like, at the beginning of the show, like, Lillian Garcia, you could, like, pan the camera on her. She was ripping a paper, like, out of nowhere. And I'm just like, I've never seen anybody do that.
Yeah.
There had to be a script rewrite, and she got a new one. Brian Saxon did a better job at the commentary table. Tons of awkward to have him out there the night after Mania and just have him by himself. Like, he's not Joey Styles. Don't Joey Styles this situation where Joey Styles is, like, the only guy calling ECW matches.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Saxon's good. I know they put him out there to see what kind of chops he had. I like Saxon in NXT. You could totally tell he was nervous. You could tell he was like holding back.
It was a little awkward at times.
Yeah. I feel if that was an issue and they're going to have like temporary hosts, let's go ahead and just rotate it in and out and let's put Corey Graves on the table.
Word is,
let's put Renee Young on the table. I would love that. Yeah.
Word is that we're supposed to see Renee Young very soon on the commentator team. So let's see what happens with her.
I'm just going to leave the jokes to her. She's amazing.
You want to go into a little bit of dirt sheet news?
Let's do dirt sheet news. Yeah.
One of the big ones other than AJ Lee leaving is over WrestleMania weekend, there was an incident between Scott Steiner and Hulk Hogan's wife. They caused Steiner to be banned from the WWE Hall of Fame ceremony at Hogan's request. TMZ reports Steiner threatened to kill Hulk Hogan to his wife. Steiner allegedly grabbed Hogan's wife at baggage claim and threatened to kill Terry as soon as he landed. TMZ reports that Jennifer didn't immediately recognize Steiner, but she did call Hulk, who took the next flight to San Jose and filed a police report. And there is currently a restraining order between Hulk Hogan and Scott Steiner for threatening to kill the Hulkster.
Big Papa Pump is your hookup.
Holla if you hear me.
Holla if I harass your wife.
And he, when reached out for a statement on it, Steiner replied, "Typical Hogan, he's just a punk."
Typical Hogan.
He did finally
crack a barrel.
He did finally get a statement out that said that he did not threaten to kill Hogan. That what he told Hogan's wife was that he had absolutely no place inducting the Macho Man into the Hall of Fame, and that.
Wow.
That Randy would be rolling over in his grave to see that.
Probably was.
Which, of course, Hogan replied, you know, we did have our beef, but what a lot of people don't realize is that the two of them had made up.
Yeah, they squashed
before. So, who knows? But apparently, Steiner is roid raging out again and freaking out, threatening to kill people. I mean, you got to become relevant somehow. At least now TMZ picked up the guy.
Goddamn.
So, you know, he's got some attention out there somewhere now. I wonder if when the police were called and he heard the sirens, if he thought it was his entrance music.
He just thought somebody was playing on the phone.
I'm trying to get over to some other dirt sheet news.
I don't know what else happened. What else happened? Wow.
There's really not much other than that.
Everything's been pretty quiet since
SmackDown is leaving
Sci-Fi Network.
And they're moving back to USA now.
Yeah.
Which is a little interesting. That's an interesting move.
There's rumors of Great Khali returning to the WWE.
Oh, God. To kill somebody?
Yeah.
Ray isn't enough? Of course, WWE has been getting a lot of coverage from ESPN lately. I don't really know where this partnership's going, but it's interesting to watch. If you guys haven't caught it, going for $25,000 right now on eBay is the late, great Paul Bearer's WWE Hall of Fame ring. They're swearing that it's 100% legit. I don't really know. If it is, that's just not right, man. That's something that needs to be with his family. It's
horrible.
How did the seller get that?
I don't know.
That's
sad. I honestly don't believe that's real. I think that's,
you know, if the family is selling it for charity or something, that's one thing.
I get it. Yeah, I get it. They're using it for, you know, in his name, but whatever. Yeah.
Who knows? Early rumors, of course, that we're going to get a Triple H Rock match at WrestleMania. So,
what was that again? A Triple H versus Rock match
at WrestleMania.
WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you sound thrilled, don't you?
I would have been more psyched for it this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Sorry, microphone.
Destination America is saying that they are pleased with Impact right now, which,
Impact's been great. Since the move to Destination America, this has been a great move for them. I know it's a downsizing. I know it's a downgrade. But to me, it feels more indie-ish. And indie shows pack a lot of heart, feel like. And you'll definitely hear that from EC3 in the interview coming up in just a little bit.
In just a minute.
To me, like, I watch it, and yeah, I do complain. I'm going to nitpick. That's my job, is to nitpick. But I do love what I watch. If I did not like watching Impact at all, I'd be like, piss off, Impact. I'm not going to watch you. But I enjoy watching. Lucha Underground.
It's my favorite one to watch.
Yeah, I really, like, it's going to be fun to watch tomorrow night. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
What was I going to lead into?
You were going to lead into DirecTV reportedly agreeing to start airing WWE pay-per-views again.
Oh, yeah? I did not see that.
Yeah,
I was going to get into that related. It's going to suck for me. I get to live the life I lived in high school and move back in with my parents for 3 months as my home is being built and I save money to put down on that home.
That's going to make watching porn really awkward.
I got a phone. I have the bathroom door locks.
Yeah.
I'm hoping. My parents have Dish Network and I have DirecTV. So I'm hoping I get access to Impact.
You should, because as long as you keep your this is getting really nerd talky right here, but as long as you keep your contract alive, you're going to have access to those shows.
Right. No, my contract will be fine when I pick it back up, because I'm not moving my DirecTV over to their house. I'm gonna just sponge off their Dish while I'm there.
Nice.
But I don't know what Dish's coverage is with Destination America, you know, and El Rey.
They get El Rey. Oh no, you know what? No, they don't. My wife's parents have a Dish at their home, so I know they have access. So you get to watch New Japan.
I get to watch New Japan.
So congratulations.
I'll find a way
which
to watch.
I find really hilarious. Like, of all the channels that they have on there, they have access, and I'm just like, what the?
I saw El Rey this week shared a picture on Facebook with Lucha Underground, and it was a Lucha Libre Lager. It was a six pack
the beer.
Beer. Yeah,
that's awesome.
I want to know where I could find this, because I would definitely drink that.
Definitely. We did get one question in this week, last week actually. So I'm really being really bad right now. I'm looking at all kinds of the news crap. I'm not really looking at the question. Alex sent in a question last week, and he asked, with the addition, I know it had to do with the Lucha Dragons. God damn it, now it's not pulling it up. I just got a page full of code. I think Facebook just crashed on me. This is amazing.
Are you in the Matrix?
I'm in the Matrix. With the addition of Neville to the main roster and the Lucha Dragons being showcased on Raw, could we see a cruiserweight revival in the near future?
I would like to.
I don't really feel like we need a cruiserweight division anymore, because the way we're moving into, really in the league of big guys anymore.
Maybe not a division, but just a revival of guys that size.
Guys that size who can come in and make. I'm gonna use this word again, but make a huge impact, and can
reach
come
for
in
that brass ring.
And yeah, like I really believe so. I mean, look at Finn Balor, he's about the same build. You know, look at Sami Zayn, he's not. I mean, he's lean. He's not really like overly muscular. He's lean. He's just a skinny kid, and he wrestles really great. He's badass. I mean, look at the Vaudevillains, and Simon Gotch is like the strong man, but he's probably like 5'4".
Yeah.
You know, but. To me, that's what I love about the NXT you know, just like you have all these guys that aren't the typical build of the WWE infrastructure that we see now, you know, where they're 6'5" and muscular and jacked to the roof. Not that that's not, you know, good. I mean, there are some guys, they are, and they look great. Like, I believe Jason Jordan in NXT. I feel like he's on the verge of a next of a great push maybe in the near future for him, his career in NXT. I think, like, an athlete like him is going to benefit, like, more learning that way of the system and then transitioning into being, like, I don't want to say, I'm not going to say the next Shelton Benjamin, because I feel like every black guy that's in WWE who's athletic gets that tag as the next Shelton Benjamin. You know, like, I really feel like, you know, that market kind of just gets shafted in a way. And Jason Jordan can be his own guy, you know. I love what the primetime players are doing right now, making fun of all the tag teams.
That was hilarious.
That was pretty funny. It's great. So I know I divulged away from
– Divulged?
Or delved away. I don't know the word I'm looking for right now. I'm, like, brain farting really
digress.
Bad. Digressing is going back.
You did go back. Kind of.
I know I'm getting way away from the topic of the question. I think it's not really – cruiserweight's not really not really needed, but just that size in general. Just normal guys, man. That's what it feels like. It's pretty cool. Guys like Daniel Bryan, man. Look at Daniel Bryan.
I agree. Yeah, if we get more guys that size, we don't need it as a division, but just the resurgence of guys like that that are just quick, fast, you know, bouncing off the
quick, fast, and badass.
There you go. Are you going to make a T-shirt out of that?
Yeah, that's actually pretty good. I should probably do that.
Isn't it? That's our only question we've addressed. Yeah. You know what, guys? Let's go ahead and give you the dessert. Let's throw it in. You guys, here it is.
You guys deserve this, man.
Deserve this as much as we
do. It was really awesome to do this. I love it. Quick note, the audio does switch up a little bit at the end because we have a little bit of technical difficulties, but it sounds great. So have fun. Listen to this. Take the pants off. Get some lotion. Have some fun.
I hope you guys have as much fun listening as we did performing it, I guess.
Oh, we were marking out the whole time.
Yeah,
so
we were.
You're going to hear us marking out. Enjoy the interview, guys. Ethan Carter III.
EC3.
Ladies and gentlemen, EC3.
All right, everybody. We'd like to welcome our guest for this week. He is the one percenter. He is Mr. USA, or as Colt Cabana referred to him, the party starter, Ethan Carter. Ethan, welcome to the show, bud.
Wow, what a bunch of accolades. First up, it'd be the USA guy, but to be called
the party
starter. Oh, excuse
me, the USA guy. I knew I messed something up.
You left out one half of, you know, the Robbie EC3 experience.
I was going to get to that.
Oh, yeah, we could talk about that, but to have Colt Cabana call me the party starter, that's quite a compliment. And also, you guys complimented me calling me a cool guy before we hopped on air, so I appreciate that.
Oh, man, we've always been pretty big fans of you. Like, just everything you've done has been awesome. We love what you're doing at TNA, so this is like a huge honor to have you on our show.
Actually, for our first guest, too. I mean, it's great to have you on here.
Yeah,
I'm number one, huh?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
How about it? Number one number bullet. All right.
It gets all downhill from here.
And I haven't even started talking yet, so I guarantee you're right.
Cool, man.
All right, man. I got to get business out of the way first. I got to let you know, my daughter, she's 4 years old, and she has got to probably be even more of a mark for you than we are. She always finds a reason to like the heels in the business, and it's always the funniest reason, of course, with Fandango, she liked him because he danced. With you, she is 100% obsessed with your entrance song.
Well, I think that's, you know, that speaks testaments to the catchiness of a great theme song. Like, Mr. What's his name? Fandango had a wonderful theme song. I have a pretty rockin' tune, and I guess that appeals to that really tough demographic to get the 4-year-old daughters. That's
exactly. I downloaded it on my iPhone, and you get more play than the Frozen soundtrack, so that's a high honor.
I get zero of the royalties the Frozen soundtrack gets, so.
Yeah, neither do we, even though we mentioned it on here. We tried to plug it. It didn't work.
Yeah.
So let's see, man. Matt, go ahead and start us off. What you got going on?
Well, dude, I'm just a huge fan of yours. Really, really unprepared, too, but, like,
who were your inspirations early on? Like, you know, what made you want to get into, you know, get into the business really? What really wanted to make you a wrestler? You know, why'd you decide that?
Well, Fandango, for one, was a big influence. Like, I saw him. No, he's great. But I don't know, man. You know, you watch it as a kid. You enjoy it. You love it.
Yeah.
You know, it becomes part of you. I think being a preteen and teen during the Attitude Era and that being on, like, the cutting edge and mainstream also attracted you to it. But, like, you know, you had those outstanding personalities, guys like, you know, Austin and The Rock and Foley, stuff like that. And then you just thought, living vicariously through them, hey, it'd be cool if I can do that. And, you know, one day, 15 years later, you're doing it. Kind of. Not making that money, but you're doing it.
And, man, of course, Matt gave you the shout-out on Twitter a while back, but definitely, man, big props to you for working through that injury and doing what you do right now with that brace on your arm. That's got to be tough, brother.
Yeah, I'm glad, you know, I don't I think a lot of people know what's going on with that arm, which is kind of the point, because I should not have any sympathy for what I'm going through if I'm going to be evil, which I am. So, but the fact that you guys know and appreciate, that's cool. But, I mean, you know, a lot of guys work through a lot of things. So there was something like the stuff with in England and Spud. I did not want to miss that regardless of where my body was at. So, yeah, you know, toughed it up, took the risk, it paid off. And, I mean, sometimes – that's what this is about, I guess.
And, you know, you mentioned the stuff in England with Spud and that match. I'm a big champion for that match. As that match aired, I mean, I was on the edge of my seat watching that. You guys definitely put on one hell of a show. And after that was done, our episode after that, I called that one of my match of the year so far, definitely in my top five when this year's over. There's no way anything's going to beat that for me this year.
Yeah, I really liked it. It was, you know, it's all story. There's no, you know, frills about it. I had one arm. Like, it's all about the emotion that it contained, I guess. And
yeah.
There was a lot of it. So, and it was pretty awesome to do.
You guys built a hell of a story leading into that. I mean, definitely that back and forth. I enjoyed the stuff you and Spud did more than anything else that was on TV, that running right there. It was just definitely... I mean, TNA is firing on all cylinders for us right now. We've been big champions of TNA for a while. We've let everybody know that's probably our favorite product going right now. And definitely to have a rivalry and a match culminate it like that was, you know, just our dream as marks, you know?
Yeah. And I guess, you know, coming from the same upbringing of being a fan, you know, like you always remember the stuff that told you that long story and it paid it off somehow. Whichever way it goes, like, at least there's a conclusive, concise beginning, middle, end, you know, peaks and valleys. You can go either way with what happens in between, but, you know, you knew you were going to wind up in Topeka, but the story is, how did we get to Topeka? You know what I mean? And I totally stole that from a John Hamm interview, but I like that
too. And that's interesting. You would steal it from a John Hamm interview, seeing as how Ethan Carter reminds me a lot of John Hamm as it is.
If you were a chick, I'd feel a lot better about that compliment.
Excuse me, Draper, I should say. Don Draper.
Yeah, you know, just drinking, smoking cigarettes, being just a complete mess of a human, but, you know, could clean up and sell you something nice, so.
Definitely, definitely. I got to ask, I know it's a touchy subject, but really, we got to get into a little bit with the Bill DeMott dilemma. Do you? We've all read, you know, your statement, and it was well put. Definitely, we agree with every word. But really, you know, what I wanted to ask is, do you feel like that was handled from the business side of that correctly, or they just got caught and they felt like they had to sweep him under the rug and get rid of him? You know, should this been something that we saw taken care of a long time ago? It sounds like something that should have been handled before it ever came to light the way it does, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's not a touchy subject at all, and I think you said opinion of a vast amount of people that, you know, it was something, it's exactly what you said. Like, I don't need to further embellish on your exact words, but yeah, like, I mean, you said it, you know, it's something. I mean, I don't work there, nor do I do their business, nor do I understand their business scheme. That stuff's not what I do. I wrestle and entertain. So, but being in the industry for a long enough time, having seeing the way people were treated prior and then later. I don't know. You know, it's, well, I'm just at a lot, like, because you said it so well. Yeah, slipped on the rug, whatever. It's done. It's dealt with. I mean, there's so much more to it, but I guess it's taken care of. I mean, it's not my place. I don't care. None of that affects me ever anymore, at least. And couldn't be happier for it.
Now, we mentioned earlier, you touched on it briefly, or Matt touched on it briefly, talking about the Robbie and EC3 experience. Tell us a little bit about that and how that came to play.
Well, we have no idea why we have a podcast. It's just 35 minutes of crap. Like, everybody has a podcast. Every wrestler has a podcast. The only thing about it is that I just want it to be different because we don't take it seriously at all. It's not about, you know, we're not going to, if you want to listen to a serious podcast, you have JR, you have, you know, Stone Cold, you have Jericho, you have guys that you'd rather get the opinion of than perennial pieces of shit like Robbie and I. So it's more of a, just a place for a couple laughs, and we kind of have our own storylines going on the podcast, which is basically Robbie's a scumbag and yeah. And I'm secretly evil, but nobody knows it. Everybody loves me, and then Robbie's trying to prove that I'm really evil. And hey, this week, I think, if we, whatever, Friday, yes, we got a big interview with Ilias the Artist, and I don't know if you guys are familiar with his work.
No, we're not.
Ilias, the guy who like draws pictures of all the wrestlers, but they're like stick figures and they're awesome. You're really gonna have to find Ilias, and you know, he's a locker room favorite in all locker rooms in the world, and he's from Morocco, and we got him on the Robbie EC3 experience, so that's as you can tell how serious it is.
Yeah. Well, I really enjoyed the podcast, and actually recently just found out that you even did one, which I thought was awesome, and I didn't know what to expect either when I first started downloading it. But I loved it that it like, you're right. You guys don't take yourself too seriously. It's all for fun and laughs, and it's a great change as far as, you know, wrestlers on podcast. I enjoy all the ones I've downloaded.
I mean, if you want the business schematics and barrel chested heels and old school talk, you're gonna find JR. You're gonna find Stone Cold, guys that know what they're talking about. If you want nonsense, swing on by. We give you 30 minutes every 2 weeks. It's not even long. You know, and I think what's cool about it too is it puts the conversations, like the personalities. First off, people can use their personalities on the show if we have a guest on it. So it's fun, like a Mr. Anderson, Matt Hardy, Sam Shaw, guys you can just listen to break out of like being a wrestler and just being the dude they are. And then secondly, I forgot what I was going to say. What was I going to say? It was really poignant. Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah, 30 minutes of nonsense.
And that, you know, that's what's great about the podcast is, you know, one of the best things about wrestling as a fan is when you can see guys have their actual attitude and their personality come out in something that they're working on. And that's something that we get to see with the podcast with you guys. I mean, that's something we kind of see in your character anyway. You get to have fun. You know, we can tell you get a little bit of liberty with it. Of course, we're big fans, of course, of the you can't wrestle, I disagree chant. That's,
yeah.
Little things like that when we can see, you know, the real person inside coming out and actually be able to see their personality is great for us. So it's definitely a good listening to for us every 2 weeks.
I remember what I was going to bring up was that, like, these are conversations Robbie and I have in person. And then the guy who moderates the show is like, you guys should have a podcast talking like that. I'm like, well, whatever. We're just trying to get free things from sponsors, sure. Whatever it takes. But yeah, you know.
Isn't that the ultimate goal?
I think you guys need a sponsor. And then you need to send me some free stuff.
Oh, definitely.
I'll sponsor you guys.
Awesome. Even better.
I'm lying, of course.
True heel form, sir.
Yeah. You put the twist at the end, just like you did the Spud. In the match.
Yeah, every damn time.
Well, speaking of your character, how much actually does the EC3 character relate in real life as opposed to what we see on TV?
It's pretty, I think you guys heard this all before. It's like the best characters are extensions of your personality and who you really are. So, you know, anybody else that could have been in this position, it might be a lot different, you know. But as you said, like, there's freedom to be yourself, and it's earned. It's not just given, you know. But, like, sometimes, I don't know if you saw the Cena Jericho podcast last night at all. But they did.
I might have watched that, yeah.
The network, but, like, I was allowed to take more risks out there without feeling like I was going to be fired immediately, as opposed to maybe the other place I worked. So that's why it caught on so quick. And, you know, fortunately, everyone seemed to enjoy it and like it. And, you know, we ran with the stuff we were doing. And then there's kind of that earned liberty to say these things, but say them in your way. Okay. Yeah. Because it's hard to write a character that you are, I guess, or that's you. It's hard to write a person. And we're not good enough to be actors to where we can play different characters super convincingly because we're pro wrestlers. So you got to have that semblance of yourself in the character.
Now you talk about having yourself in the character and being an extension of yourself. Does that mean that you personally have hunted ill-prepared tailors for sport or killed a man and thrown him overboard in international waters?
That's all speculation. I have no idea what you're talking about. It's not like you're referencing some sort of podcast I did with Josh Matthews. That couldn't be at all we're talking about.
We'll most definitely get a call from Felix soon.
Oh, yeah. Well, you see, the thing is, you know, if you got to become a character, you got to create a backstory for it. So did I hunt and murder somebody for sport with my family? No, but I can understand what they might feel like, and they can use it later.
definitely got you there.
Now, going back to the EC3 character, how much of an idea was it to be, or the whole idea of you being Dixie's nephew? Was that something that you threw up there first when they, you know, you got in contact with them, or was that just...
That was something that was created by a couple smart cats in TNA, and, you know... A lot of times, if you do this long enough and you're presented with ideas from other people, 99% of the time you're like cringing behind your face, like, this is just sounds rotten and terrible. I don't want to do this. Oh, this sounds horrible. Like, I don't see how this could ever work. That was the one time in my life I was presented something where I was like, that rules, and I can do that very well, I think. Yeah.
Well, it was pretty awesome. I mean, right from the get-go, I mean, you got it. I mean, it was a really cool push for you as far as, like, the vignettes that we got before you even debuted. I mean, it was awesome to know, because I'd been following you since you were in the other company, and when you got let go, I was super pissed. I was following, you know, before the network. And then I see these vignettes for this new character, and it's you, and I was like, holy crap, this is awesome. And, you know, yeah, I dug the character. I dig your character now, and it's only propelled even more so, I think, as far as how far you're pushing it.
Yeah, the thing is, you just got to keep making it just a little bit different. You know, you always got to evolve it slightly, which I try to do each kind of segue into something different or more. You know what I mean? I guess, like, it could have came out of the gates being super serious, but then I realized that's A, not my best attribute coming out of the gates, and B, people will just kind of shit on it, would be the word. Yeah. So you kind of have to, I don't want to say comedy because it's not funny, but elements of entertainment into it that allow people that even if you're disliked, they like to dislike you, as opposed to you're disliked and they're going to turn the channel. So, and then I think I was really helpful with being attached to Rockstar Spud because we have a pretty similar mindsets, and you kind of get that yin and yang out there, so I can defer the comedy to him, which in fact makes him far more likable than I would be. and, you know, we're entertaining and we're off to the races. And then next thing you know, your aunt's going through a table and then you have a blood feud and then you nearly leave a guy dead in his home country and you're moving on to other things. So it's all cool.
That's how it goes.
Yeah, then you progress to being a real dick bag instead of just a pretentious one.
Anyway, as far as how do you like working with Tyrus? Have you gotten try to get him to dance again?
Never, never. His best attribute is anything but dancing, as I think everyone learned. Now over here, he's in the same boat. Like, he gets to be himself.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's who he is a silent killer kind of guy, you know, a big, tough dude. While he has a great personality, the way it was portrayed in dancing wasn't the best way to show it. And I think going further, when we can develop him more, you're going to see more of who he really is and more of what makes him an attraction or a draw or someone that's going to make us money, and he's going to kick ass because, yeah, he's good. He's good and he's big.
Yeah.
And plus, when he came over, was that something that they approached you and said, hey, we're gonna bring in Tyrus and he's going to work with you? Or was that something that you kind of, you know, helped champion to get him over there?
I think there was interest in him, and I mean, I didn't tell them to sign him, but I said, if you were to, I think that would be a good idea, because I think, especially when we're going to Spud, you know, EC3 would have the anti-Spud after Spud, like the exact opposite of what he was. And so there was interest in on our company's behalf, definitely. And I also said, please, I think that would be a really good idea. But he's the one that did the work. I mean, it's nothing I did. He's the one that's doing him, and he's doing it well.
And you guys compliment each other, I mean, really well. Of course, one of our favorite promos was the reference to the disco ball backstage. So you guys definitely hit on that, touched on that other personality very well.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you're sent on a traveling game show before a wrestling show, you kind of bond a little bit. So you get to know each other really well. And then, you know, a couple years down the road, you can actually make it work. So,
right, good, good. Now, are you working indie gigs as well while you're out there working for TNA?
Yeah, there's a couple I'll pick up. I try not to do too many, but a few choice ones. So, you know, if anyone books people, you can hit me up on my bookec3@gmail.com. If you desire, I don't guarantee I'll show up. No, I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say I might get with some of the people here in New Mexico and get them to reach out to you, but I don't know if I want to be the one to champion you coming to a shithole like this.
Oh, no, it's fine, because the thing I actually – what's cool about TNA is that you get different aspects of the business. Like, you have TV, and you're on TV, awesome, and you have, like, cool places to go sometimes. That's cool. But then you also have the freedom that, hey, you know, I have nothing going on this weekend. Maybe I can go down to – shithole like New Mexico, and you know what, but like you go to not to say it is, because, you know, Breaking Bad was filmed there, so that's cool, right?
Well, you don't hear us arguing, so
yeah. Well, you said it, but like, you know,
it's fairly well.
Yeah, but you get to go out there and you get to see a different part and you get to meet different people, and, you know, it's cool because now that I have some experience to kind of give back if anyone wants to listen on indie shows or do a little seminar with local guys and hopefully, you know, make the indies suck less sometimes. But then you also, you know, you get to meet people, fans and such, that you might not get to have like personalization with ever. So it's very cool. So yeah, send me a hand down. Let's go.
Yeah, we'll definitely get somebody in touch with you. We've got some guys we know that work an organization up in Northern, actually Albuquerque, so we can get you down in the Breaking Bad scene.
Let's go. Call Pinkman. It's rough.
You'll get the phone call. Yo, bitch. You know, of course, I'm going to ask the smarkiest of questions we could probably ask, but, you know, playing fantasy booker, you know, who out there would you want to work with? You know, if you had your dream match with somebody, who would it be?
Well, this is the Smart Mark podcast, so I did not expect there to be smarky questions.
No, not at all.
I guess it all depends on the scenario. I mean, right now in TNA, I mean, I'm looking at a healthy Kurt Angle, because what we had before, he was kind of battling some injuries at the time, and, you know, we didn't get that chance to really collide the way I've envisioned it since I've watched him in that era I talked about, you know. So, and he's a champ, so I guess that'd be the match I'm looking forward to from a fantasy and a reality standpoint.
Yeah, I don't think we're too far away from that, right?
Well, we'll see, you know. I could only be unbeaten for so long before I get a title shot. I'm actually kind of legitimately frustrated about that. Don't you think I should have had one by now?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was about to bring up. I mean, you've beaten guys that have been at WrestleMania, I'm just saying.
Yeah. Sorry. You know what has been very cool is that regardless of where this goes, it's like the thing with Spud, it was told over a significant amount of time, and there's no rushing aspects of it. There's no need to rush this stuff because it's so much better when it's savored over a long term, you know?
And that's where we always, you know, see the most entertaining things is when it is savored. You know, we get stuff from other companies where we feel like it's rushed. And we don't get a payoff like we should. It feels like things are changed on the fly so quick. And that's one of the best aspects of TNA when we watch as fans is we do get to see things play out. We get to see old storylines. I mean, we still have MVP referencing, you know, his beef with Lashley and seeing that go on. And good Lord, how long has that been happening? So it's really good to see, you know, they're still keeping you and you're still undefeated after, what are we at now, 18, 19 months?
Yeah, give or take. I lost track. But, yeah, and I mean, you know, there's sometimes in other places or even in TNA, things kind of get blown off quickly. Sometimes there's reasons for that you might not know, or sometimes there's
right. There's
a lot of different aspects to why that happens. But fortunately, right now, we seem to be in a good position where we can tell a bunch of a nice long stories, like Magnus and Bram have a nice long story going.
Yeah.
You know, Lashley, MVP, that all, like, everyone has something to do. Which is cool, especially because, like, you know, it's not 3 hours where the entire mid-card's forgotten about, and there's only two things that seem to be cared about. It seems like each segment on the show has a purpose and a point, which is, it's good. It's good for us.
Yeah, I like, actually, what you brought up. Sorry, the feedback. Sorry. Like, it doesn't really feel like there is, and I mean this in a good way, like there is no mid-card. Like, all the feuds that we've been seeing on TV have been, like, you know, top-notch feuds. And where they're going, I really like, even, you know, where they're going, like, the X Division with you, you know, with Angle and Lashley, and what happened on this last week's of Impact. It just, every angle that we see is, I mean, really great. You can headline any show, you know, from the near-on future, so... I like that. That's, and that's what I like about a lot about TNA. It's is just as much focus is put on those angles as, or those stories as, you know, the main event story.
I think in TNA, the talent has an opportunity to do, if you're in something that might be classified as a mid-card angle, if you put your heart and soul into it, it becomes treated like it's a main event angle, I guess. So you just have to, when you put that effort in, it's rewarded in TNA or elsewhere if you put a lot of effort into something.
Is there anything coming up, you know, you want to go ahead and plug or anything you want to push while you're on the show?
Well, let's see. I don't know when this bad boy will be showing up, but we got to...
We'll actually be dropping it this week.
Well, we're dropping like it's hot.
Exactly.
What is going on this week? Well, we have the Wolves had to vacate the tag team title, so there'll be some sort of tag team shenanigans. I feel like I'll have a part in that coming up on Impact. And then I'll go on for a couple weeks. And then May 8th, we're going to be live on Destination America, which is going to be pretty cool because we haven't done a live show since the first one. So I'm excited about that. And I'm sure I'll have something incredible going on. Spoiler, it's going to be sweet. Hopefully. We'll see. And then... from there, I mean, that's personal. You can follow me on Twitter, but if you follow you guys, you probably follow me because, you know, I'm a wrestler, actually. Maybe, maybe not. At Ethan Carter TNA. Instagram is at TheRealEC3. The Robbie
the EC3 experience drops bi-weekly on Fridays. Maybe if we get it up. If not, just whatever, it'll show up. So find that on iTunes. What else do I have going on? I don't know. You know, you're in New Mexico.
Yeah.
I won't be out there anytime soon. You know, I'll be around. I'll be around. Follow me, and then I'll show you where I'm at. Cool.
All right, guys. Well, we definitely appreciate having you on the show, Ethan. It's been a pleasure. Definitely, you know, number one in our hearts, obviously, because you were our first guest.
How about that?
All right, thank you.
How about that?
How about that? All right, man, I appreciate everything. We appreciate your time. We look forward to having you on here again.
Yeah, you know what? Let me know, because, you know, you get about four or five more guests, and then I'll swing on back and
get a follow-up. We'll wait. Yeah, we'll wait for some pretty amazing things to happen and get you back on the show.
We'll see what happens.
All right. Thanks a lot, brother.
Thanks so much, man.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
That was fucking awesome.
Fucking amazing.
Fucking amazing. Guys, Ethan Carter III, EC3, the first official main guy talent guest.
Our first official guest.
God damn.
Our first official guest. We've had our marks on here. Yeah. We had part of our mark army
on the
show.
We marked out that whole interview, and we could have asked so many other questions, and I thought of so many other things afterwards, and I should have asked that. I should have asked him if he could have done this for us. But, yeah, it was cool to be in the moment, kind of caught up with that, somebody that we really enjoy watching.
Absolutely.
That was, like, our pleasure, and I was serious. I really think it's going to be, like, you know, I'm looking forward to who else we can get on the show in the future, but I'm glad we started with Tim.
I'm working.
We'll see.
I'll get somebody else booked very soon.
We'll start doing some emails.
You guys heard it yourself. I mean, we'd love to have him back on the show in the near future.
You heard him himself. We need sponsors.
Yeah, we need sponsors. He said he was going to sponsor us.
And sponsors would help us get more guests on this show.
Yeah, we could have much
more guests.
I'm
not
going to
pocket this money. Whatever money comes into the show from sponsors or from donations or whatnot, guess what, guys? That's going to go right back to the show, and that's going to go right back to you guys. We're going to try to get more guests on this show. We're going to try to do more fun things for you. We encourage you guys to take part in the Twitch streams, take part in the questionnaires, because we're going to do more things for you guys. It's going to be great.
So what do you normally say about this time, Matt? So
On that note, guys, remember, you can send us your questions by following us on Twitter at @smart_marks. You're more than welcome to follow us on Twitter as well. You can follow Jeremy at jvader82. You can follow me at Mateo83. Search for the Smart Marks Facebook fan page. You know where to find it. There you can interact with us and other fans of the show. Show us your favorite memes. Send us questions. Just go crazy. Also, look for us on Tumblr. And if you don't use any of the above and avoid social media altogether, you can still email us your questions too. smartmarksquestions@gmail.com. Again, that email is smartmarksquestions@gmail.com. Remember, you can stream and download the show via iTunes, Stitcher, and the Podcast Garden. Thanks for tuning in and downloading, peeps. Once again, I am Matt. He is Jeremy. We'll catch you guys next time on the Smart Marks. Peace out.
Trouble, 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 trouble.
Oh,
ladies and gentlemen, EC3.
Trouble, 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 trouble.
My life. I'm a skyscraper for